Welcome to Listen in Wonder. Join us as we explore the wonder of who God is and who He has created us to be. Each week, we encourage you to pause, listen carefully for the voice of your perfect Father, and wait to hear whatever He says to you. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.
Welcome back. It is Wonder Wednesday. Truly becoming such a great day of the week. And I am super excited about our guest today. I have been in some circles with her, but not in such of a one-on-one circle. So I am beyond excited and thankful for somebody from our worship team to join me today on the podcast as we talk about hearing God's voice and tuning our ears to what that sounds like, creating space for Him, having a posture, a heart posture that is really seeking and running fast after Jesus. This person, I haven't even told you her name yet. That's kind of fun. But oh my goodness, I'm going to say to her right now how sweet it has been in the last year, I would say. There's been another level of vulnerability with you. She leads our staff oftentimes in worship. She leads pretty regularly on Sunday mornings and some other places in the week. And I know it's a sacrifice to your family. We kind of hinted at that before we got started. But it's so beautiful. And I'm so grateful for the over the last year how you have grown in this vulnerability to share with those you lead what it looks like to be in the throne room. So I'm super, super excited that Reagan Sims is here today. Hello, oh, Reagan. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, Barbara.
How are you? I bet you didn't know we were so starting good. There.
I know, but I love it. That makes it feels so good to hear you say, like, in the past year, you've noticed, like, which is very interesting because I'm wondering if it's been about a year since I started doing a lot more diligent time with Jesus, like sitting with Him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ooh, interesting. I'm wondering if you're sensing something. Maybe if you wouldn't always know that if you hadn't seen me start, you know, and seen me at different
She's
times.
Very talented. Do not get me wrong. Like, she can sing.
Thank you.
Beautifully. But there is definitely something that is precious to think that so oh my goodness, are we gonna start? Do you want to start there? Like, what was it about a year ago that shifted?
I have so much. I talked with Randall Center about we all got together as a group, like some of us on the worship team. We were discussing what it looks like to worship, and we all met together at, I think we were at La Madeline. And we were talking about, as being on the platform as a worship leader, what it looks like to worship Jesus and what it looks like when you're not on the platform. And I just, everyone was talking about their relationship with Jesus off the platform. It was beautiful. And I just like raised my hand, like, I'm going to be really honest and just tell you that I do not have an extremely rich time with Jesus not on the platform. It's not very strong. So when I am on up there, my time with Jesus, it is precious to me because I feel safe with Jesus up leading worship. And I still, to this day, I believe that God has always met me there.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether I'm spending time with Him off the stage.
Well, and that's so upside down because a lot of people would probably think the opposite, like time with the Lord. And then He asks you to be on the worship team. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people would think that it would start that way. Here's what I know to be true about God. He knows you.
He does.
And He will use anything to pursue you closer. So how precious is it? I want y'all all to hear this. He's always working in your life. He's always orchestrating. It's not going to look the same for you as it looks for the person sitting next to you.
That's true.
But He is a God that pursues us.
Which is so, I mean, I love it. I don't look back at that time where I wasn't rich with Him and think, oh no. Like, I think I used to, I could have felt some guilt and shame, but I don't actually now. I look at it as more just a like remembering the way that He met me, the way that He knows me. There's even a song called Sing My Way Back to You. I think it's could be Stephanie Gretzinger. And she talks about whenever she loses her way, she sings, she can sing her way back to him. And every time, I just remember the Lord, just that feels really right. But what I learned from that meeting is that Randall said, I'm reading this book called Secrets of the Secret Place. And I'm read that and I spend about, I mean, he doesn't even know I'm going to be sharing this, but at that time he was like, I mean, I think I'm probably like an hour in like the, with the closed door, like secret place, like time with Jesus. And I was like, what does that even look like? And I thought, I don't know. I don't think I could do it for 5 minutes. And he goes, might give it a try. And then I did. I started setting a timer for 5 minutes.
Did it feel long at first?
And even some days it still feels long. Even that 5 minutes can feel hard. But I will like just lean my, like I will lean back in my little nook in my room. I lean back and just close my eyes and open my palms. And I just sit there and let the Lord meet me in the silence and kind of the quiet. Which can be hard for someone who's chatty and likes people, and I'm extroverted, and you know, it's hard to be. I have ADHD, like actually diagnosed.
So all the things.
So that's why I was like, there's no way this is going to go well. And then the first time I did it, I felt like he like met me in like on literally I saw like a dock going out. And I think God meets us everybody in different ways, but this is the way that he met me. And so I'm like, he's out on a dock and I go and I sit by him. I'm literally imagining it in my mind's eye, like the way you would watch a movie almost, but it's in your, in your mind. And I'm, I walk and I sit next to him and, it's Jesus. It's the, you know, Jonathan Rumi from The Chosen. Have you ever seen The Chosen?
I have seen parts of The Chosen.
Well, the actor's name's Jonathan. I don't know if I'm saying his last name right, but Jonathan Rumi. But it's that actor playing Jesus. I mean, it's Jesus in my mind, but I see his face. But he's sitting there with me. And sometimes he's literally eating grapes, which is very specific. I know
that is,
but it's showing, I think for me, the way that my imagination is, it's how human he was and how real he was.
As you're picturing that, you're like, that sounds weird, but at the same time, if he knows you and this is how he is helping you get into that space with him, it's because when you're focusing on even down to what he's eating, it's maybe keeping your mind from wandering to something else.
It's true.
Right? One of our conference speakers for next year, her name is Megan Marshman. She has a new book out. I haven't read it. I will read it. It's called Relaxed, and it's all about the posture of Jesus. And she even encourages people, like when you sit down in that quiet space, and your mind starts to wander. Like the enemy wants us to be hard on ourselves. I'm like, what do you mean? You can't focus on God for 5 minutes before your mind starts wandering. What Megan says is pay attention to where your mind is wandering and then start talking to Jesus about that. Like he wants to know it all anyway. So why are we so hard on ourselves to bring back to whatever we thought the agenda or what we were supposed to be thinking, rather than whatever keeps coming to that wandering in our mind? Okay, we'll talk to him about that because it obviously matters to you. So, okay, I have to put the brakes on for a second because we don't know anything about you. Okay, I mean,
we need to learn. We need to know,
we know some things about you. But I would love knowing this for you to share a little bit with us about how you grew up, like what was your experience in church, maybe how you met Justin, you know, anything you want to tell us about your little family of four. I know that's a lot, but kind of, can you just scale back to the beginning? Like you can start with your middle name.
My middle name? I love that. My middle name, I was born with my middle name, Catherine.
Is that your middle name now? It's not. You said that.
I changed it when I got married. I changed it to my maiden name is Rhodes.
Okay.
So now it's Reagan Rhodes Sims.
Okay. Catherine with a K or Catherine with a C?
Catherine with a K.
All right.
And K-A-T-H-R-Y-N.
That is how my sister spells her name.
Well, I will pray for her because no one will ever get that right. And I'm so sorry for her. Well, I mean, it's fine. But she's literally her whole life. She's like, yeah, there's a random Y in it. And it doesn't make sense. But it's
I
in
have
there.
An older sister named Catherine, and it was a family name. But my mom was so funny. She wanted her to be her own person. She wanted to have her own spelling. Makes so that's sense. How that happened.
That makes sense.
And bless her, then she had twin sisters 2.5 years later. It's been a road. So that's, yes.
Yeah. I love that. It's one of those. It's very regal. Also, Reagan means small ruler or little king. But since I'm a girl, I'm right. Little queen.
Little
mm-hmm. queen.
Love it.
And I will bank on that.
That's why
forever.
The Lord put you in a family of all boys now.
Exactly. I'm the queen. The queen. Yeah. So that's my name.
So how did Reagan grow up?
Yes. So I grew up in church. I grew up going to McKinney Memorial Bible Church, which is now Doxology.
Okay.
And I grew up like there from
I didn't realize
like
you were
little,
from this area.
Uh-huh. From Fort Worth.
Okay.
Yes. And grew up there like the entire time, all the way through high school, was really involved in the youth group. Mm. My parents.
Did you sing in the youth group?
I did.
Okay.
I sang in the youth group, and I remember when I was singing in middle school, the first time I closed my eyes in worship. And I was like, this is a huge deal that I'm doing this, because it was a little bit more, I guess, conservative, but maybe just a church where they weren't really raising a lot of hands mm-hmm. necessarily mm-hmm. At that time. And yeah. So haven't been back in a while, so I don't know. But I remember closing my eyes for the first time and thinking, this was a big step of faith for me to close my
just
eyes.
Just close your eyes.
Let alone raising my hand up, which that didn't happen, I don't think, until I went off to college.
So what did you describe your experience when you closed your eyes?
It was when I closed my eyes, I remember closing my eyes because it felt like what I wanted to do. It felt natural and normal to do it, but I was having to fight with the fear of what other people were going to think of me. Mm-hmm. And knowing that the other people in the room, the students, especially my friends, mm-hmm. weren't doing that. So it was opposite of what I had seen.
Okay.
And I think it felt really good to do it, but it was hard for me at the mm-hmm. time.
Did anybody ask you about it?
Nobody said a word.
Okay.
Nobody said a word. And I'm wondering, too, if more people were closing their eyes mm-hmm. and more into it. And it was, you know, I'm thinking about middle school Reagan. I tended to focus on the people that I cared the most about what they thought, mm-hmm. which would have been like my friends. But it's very possible that other people were closing their eyes and I wasn't aware of it.
Yeah.
It was just in my mind, this is how I was experiencing the moment. Yes. But I remember feeling, I remember singing, I could sing of your love forever. Mm. Do you remember mm-hmm. that one?
Yeah.
And I loved that. And when I was at home, just in my own bedroom singing, mm-hmm. I mean, I had the best time. And then when I would get up there on the stage, I would get a lot more like shy, even though I grew up performing my whole life and like being on the stage and doing theater. But it's different. Worship is different than putting on a character and performing like in a musical. It's just very different.
Lots of people can lead singing.
Yes. Yes.
There's a difference when somebody ushers us into the presence of God through worship.
That's true. That's true. And they are different.
They are very different.
And I don't know if one – what I think is really amazing is that I'm always reminded – I believe God could use – I mean, there's a lot of talented people. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that have beautiful voices mm-hmm. and there's mm-hmm. a lot of expressive people. There's a lot of people that have incredible worship that we probably never even see. Mm-hmm. But every time I get to lead or get to be up there, I think to myself, he could use anyone. Mm-hmm. I'm so honored and thankful I get to be mm-hmm. a part of it in any way. But he could use anybody. And I sometimes want to say that up there when I'm mm-hmm. when I'm up there, be like, just want all of you to know that I am not, I mean, God thinks all of us as special as his mm-hmm. kids, but like, I am not elite. God just, he wants to use me in this particular way, but that's because of the way he's equipped me. But it's mm-hmm. not like he could use anybody.
Yeah.
But this is where he has me. And I want to be obedient to that, mm-hmm. you know?
That's beautiful.
So.
Well, how did you meet your husband? Tell our listeners just a little bit about you now and your fam, what it looks like.
Yes.
Like what it looked like this morning effort to get here.
Oh, this morning. Oh, this morning was a really interesting day. My boys, I have two boys, Costin and Reese. They're
First boy is Justin.
Is my first boy. Yeah. We joke about that. I got three boys. One of them's a grown man. His name's Justin and he is awesome. He works at, he's a physician assistant. And so he has a pretty like normal 8 to 5.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So he has a pretty like good schedule where he's, you know, 8 to 5-ish. And then I've got an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old, which is really awesome. So I have a third grader and a kindergartner.
Love it.
What is happening?
That's a fun year for you.
Oh, yeah. It's the first time I've had kids in school full time. What is
that? Yeah, you're like.
I was like, what? You mean I don't have to pick them up until 3:15?
What am I going to do all day?
What am I going to do all day? I find lots of things, but it's been really nice to have a little bit of like white space.
Margin.
Yes. Yeah. I have some space to like
moms of babies and preschoolers.
Yes.
You will arrive one day.
You will.
Youngest goes to kindergarten, do feel a little bit like you've arrived.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, this is great. And then when they come home from school, I have like some energy to like connect with them, which is really nice.
Yeah.
They're very different in the best way. I love that. Like Costin, I think, is more in his head. He's more science, math, that sort of thing. And Reese is more like physical, I would say, and more like everything's very like he would like the other day, Costin wanted Justin to teach him division. He's in third grade.
Yes.
And they're just doing that for fun at the breakfast
table.
You need
to know division in third grade.
And he's figuring, like, it's clicking for him. And I'm thinking, I barely know division right now.
Could you teach me?
Yes, seriously. Could you teach me? And then Reese is upstairs on his his toy electric guitar, just wailing up there. And I was like, I need to remember this moment because it's awesome. I have a kid that's literally just rocking out on his guitar. I don't know what he's doing. And then I've got another one trying to learn division. Mm-hmm.
You basically have a little Justin and a little Reagan in the house is what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm.
That's accurate. Accurate. We laugh. I'm like, see, we point at each other all the time. Like, that one's you. That one's you. But they're so fun. They're so much fun. So Justin, like we said earlier, like one of the things that I think is so awesome about him is he knows the drill with dropping the kids off at church better than I do because I don't do it very often because I'm usually singing a lot. Mm-hmm. And so he like leaves me in the dust. Like the boys know this, they have this whole routine.
Yes.
And when I try to like interject and help, Justin's like, I got it. Go sit down and go find the seat. Okay. And he like does the whole thing. And I love that about him because he's just like on it. And he's been really, I think he's made a concerted effort to say, like, Reagan, I want you to say yes to this. I want you to do this so I can be there for you.
I love that because when we're serving in the way that you do, the amount of time that it takes, there is a cost to your family, but you're doing it to get, like, there's vision as a family of why we're doing what we're doing.
Yes.
You know, and probably don't know this, but we sit behind, Ryan and I sit behind Justin and the boys quite a bit. It just, we try to move around. We try not to sit on the same row, but we do end up in the same section. But I will say it has been really sweet to watch him with the boys. He's a very calm presence.
He is.
So it is really sweet. And if you guys are headed in the same direction with this gift of worship, you leading singing and him taking the kids to, you know, check in or whatever, it's all a part of the same gifting. It's all a part of the same anointing because you couldn't do it without that support.
That's true. I never thought about it like that.
So I would encourage you to just honor them by saying, because I have your support, this is what is happening on Sunday mornings, you know, every time. Gosh, and I don't know, like, if it's been a long time since my boys are that age, but helping them have eyes to see what's happening because our kids are in the room during worship, that, you know, you experience this, but somebody will stand up when everybody's sitting, mm-hmm. or they'll raise their hands, or they'll move towards the front. Like, mm-hmm. if you and Justin can help your boys see that that is God's presence working,
yes, then that's a good point.
It's all of you together.
Yes, it
going,
is.
We're running after Jesus in this way. Yes. And yes, there's a cost to it, but it's worth it because watch, he's showing us that he's yes. meeting with people. So
I love that.
Yeah.
That's a really unique, that's a good way to put it. I love that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm really, there's been many times where I'm like, thank you so much for just so being a team player, showing up, doing this. Mm-hmm. And then when I get home from church, I'm usually tired and I even get a nap after.
Yeah, family nap.
So nice.
Maybe not a family
Maybe
nap.
Not but a family nap. Nope, not a family. I wish.
I did that, yes. I retreated to my room for a solid 2 hours yesterday. Yeah, it was great.
I have a minute sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm just tired. It's good tired, but mm-hmm. I'm just worn out because we get there at 5:45.
Say that for the people in the back. I'm always shocked by that. On Sunday morning, there's a lot of people who probably don't realize 5:45. Yeah.
And then whenever rehearsal starts, if you have the opening song, you are starting off the morning with the whole band singing. And sometimes we say, I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth, but we will proceed. We will proceed as best we can because sometimes you're not fully warmed up by that hour of the day.
Oh, man.
But everyone's really,
eyes aren't even open at that time of day, much less my vocal cords.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's fine.
Well, okay. So maybe you want to take us back to the dock.
Yeah.
Or maybe you want to take us back to a time in high school or college. I don't know, because I've never asked you this question, but I would love if you would share a story with us about a time when you know you heard God's voice.
Yeah.
And that may not be an audible thing. Most of the time it's not. Sometimes it's a thought. Sometimes it is a feeling or something that somebody will see in creation, or it's like through a song. Like it could be, I know I'm trying to.
No, you're good.
You've got one.
I think I do have one. And we can obviously you can just tell me what you think is appropriate. But like, I didn't grow up in a home where it was like a typical, I have two different, I'm my dad and my mom, and they were not together when I was born. They never got married. So they're like a separate. So I went back and forth between my dad's house and my mom's house. But there were
thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah,
because I think I'm pausing you for a second, but that's one thing I always hope that the Lord will put in front of us, that he doesn't just work in one way, and he works through a lot of different circumstances.
Yes.
So thank you for sharing that.
Yes. And it was what I think makes that complicated. It's just that it was two different sort of ways of being. And I think that happens in a lot of families where you grow up going back and forth. It's just they operate in two different ways. And I would say that.
So which one of your parents did you go to McKinney Bible Church with?
My mom and my stepdad, who I'm really not close with. I'm really not close with them anymore, just because it's not a healthy, it's not a healthy environment. Mm-hmm. But my dad and my stepmom, they were also, my dad's Catholic. So I went grew up going to Mass. So I got a little bit of both. Like I got a little Bible church and then I also got to experience Mass. And my dad is very devout and goes to Mass every single Sunday. And I actually learned a lot about like reverence for Jesus in that setting, in a different way. But what I think, when I think about the Lord speaking to me a really specific time, I don't have to necessarily go into specifics about what was, I shared this actually as a communion moment at West Fort Worth. I believe that the Lord really just blessed it. Okay. So what I would say is, when I was in college, I started processing, which many of us do that. Mm-hmm. We process our upbringings. We're like, wait, you just get out of your own upbringing and your own bubble, and mm-hmm. you start to see things differently when mm-hmm. you're not in it. It's mm-hmm. such a common thing.
Yeah.
And what I realized was that I had some trauma, I had some stuff in my upbringing. And I didn't know what to do with that. So I actually started going to therapy like when I was about 18, trying to process mm-hmm. through, okay, what happened? What's going on for me that I am having a hard time? Like, why am I dealing with some of these things? And I remember processing some deep wounds, deep betrayals, and abuse. And I remember asking the Lord, where was he? Mm. Where was he? I mean, I straight up was like, I want to know where you were.
Yeah.
Why did this happen? This makes no sense. Why would you do this? I was so angry. Mm. Oh, so angry. And I was also really confused because it was before I had really started talking to more women specifically about this subject, which now I know it's really a lot more common for women to, or people in general, but more often than not, when I'm sharing this particular piece of my story, I hear a woman look at me and say, yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. Same. Mm-hmm. Or I've never told anybody this, but I had the same experience. Mm-hmm. And so, but before I had ever started sharing it with people, I was like, God, I don't get it. I don't understand why this could happen because I know you're good. So why? And I remember feeling like in my soul, I don't even know how to explain it, but I remember him saying, it's in 2 Peter where he says, 1,000 days is as one day to the Lord, and one day is as a thousand. Mm-hmm. And he said, I felt like he was saying to me, I don't think about time in the way that you think about time. Mm. So for you, it's a beginning, middle, end. It's mm-hmm. a linear thing. But for me, it's vertical. It's all happening in more of a vertical stance. And so he was actually showing me, and actually it's kind of interesting mm-hmm. to even say this now, he was showing me a timeline that went up and down and also showing me a timeline, mm-hmm. my timeline, which goes across, which mm-hmm. actually makes a cross.
Yeah.
Never thought about that. Sorry, that was, that's crazy. Okay.
This is why we're verbal processors. This is why we're,
yes, yes. So he's literally showing me, so he said, I like in my heart, he said, to you, it felt as if, you know, I wasn't there. But to me, I was already dying for it. I was redeeming it. Mm. I was present in it. I was weeping mm-hmm. over it. I was already seeing the healing that is going to happen. It's all happening at the same time for me. And so I never left you.
Wow.
I experienced it with you. I died with you. Right. I mean, I was dying for it. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, I will never forget this. And mm-hmm. I won't have to. I mean, I don't know if it's this way for everyone, but I haven't had to ask that specific questions. Now, I've asked some other questions, mm-hmm. but the question of where were you?
Yeah.
And were you really there for me?
And the peace that comes with that, the vision that he was giving you in that description of, you know, it was all vertical, happening at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, that is incredible.
It changed my way I look at it for sure.
And one of the things that I'm sitting here imagining, because you have been vulnerable with us in that doc setting,
yes.
is that is horizontal.
That's true.
Like that's the doc so goes out, like the doc yeah. going out. Think about a doc going out into, I mean, I haven't been on your doc, but
yeah,
as you've
water.
Explained it, yes. just still water all around,
yes.
peaceful. And so when you think about our Creator separating the sky from the water, but like as you're telling the story, I'm envisioning a cross in that moment where you posture yourself. Like
that's
there
true.
Is this horizontal. I'm out on the dock with
yes.
him. But yet, like I would imagine when you're sitting on the dock, you're both looking at the sky and the water.
Yes, it's a very vertical feeling. It feels more vertical with him because we're posturing ourselves towards like, almost like heaven, kind of. It's like an outward and upward. Mm-hmm. Which is, I've never really thought
so
about
think
it that
about
way.
That he spoke that to you when you were 18. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to ask your age now, but she does have a kindergartner and a third grader.
I do, yes.
So a few years have passed mm-hmm. between him speaking that to you and then also literally showing it to you, I don't know, a year ago.
That's true. That's really beautiful. Yeah. He has been so such a good dad. Mm-hmm. Good dads know their kids. Mm-hmm. And he has shown up for me as a good dad over and over and mm-hmm. over. It doesn't make the pain of having to heal from those wounds.
Right.
It doesn't always make it hurt less, but man, it helped me have a lot more. Help me look to him rather than cutting him out, mm-hmm. saying like, you weren't there, you don't get it, you're not good. Like that isn't where I was naturally going to keep going. Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful for that. And that was a beautiful gift.
Well, and he gives good gifts mm-hmm. because he's a good father. I was thinking about that just this week in mm-hmm. some preparation for our Wednesday night women's group here. We, when we're giving gifts, the more we love the person, the more we delight in them, the more excited we are to pick out the best gift for that person. Like yes. there's a whole process going on in our hearts as we're picking the gift, as we're maybe wrapping the gift, or what are they going to think about it? Like, I've never really stopped to think about, like, I know God gives good gifts, but the amount of delight, the amount that he loves us when he's even crafting the gift or preparing to give it to us. Mm. And so as we are wanting to be more present with him and hear from him, you know, it's just sweet to think, I want to be with the giver. Mm-hmm. Yes, his gifts are good.
Yes.
But I want to be with the giver more. Because I want to know more about all of those things.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, absolutely.
So.
Same.
Well, okay. So because you are a mom of two boys mm-hmm. that are like in the throes of it all, mm-hmm. how do you posture yourself to get back to that doc moment mm-hmm. on a regular basis? Like, mm-hmm. what does that look like for you?
It looks like for me before they were in school full time, it looked like for me getting up earlier, which was not always easy to do, mm-hmm. but it looked like getting up sometimes before the sun came up because mm-hmm. I knew that it was quiet.
Are you a morning person?
Not really.
Yeah, me neither.
No, not really. Mm-hmm. So there would be some mornings when it just didn't happen. And I believe the Lord was like, I want you to take off the shame or the mm-hmm. making it too legalistic.
Mm-hmm.
I felt him say, mm-hmm. it's okay. There'll be another moment today, or we'll do it again. We'll meet again tomorrow. Like, but when I was consistently finding that time, it was earlier in the morning, mm-hmm. and even makes sense. I mean, when I would read in the Psalms, it's like early in the morning. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of morning stuff
yes.
mm-hmm. throughout the Bible. I believe God meets us at whatever time.
Yeah,
but for me, that's when I was doing that. Now that they're in school, it looks like me coming home. Mm. And not cleaning my house because it looks like someone robbed it.
In an effort to get to school on time.
Yes. Because I leave every cabinet open.
Who was here? Who was here?
Who was here? Who made this? Oh, it was just us. But I am also notorious for leaving every cabinet door open. I don't always shut my fridge. It beeps at me. So it literally looks like walking past the ransacked home that looked like someone just robbed it, going straight to my chair and sitting down. Sometimes I'll light a candle, sitting down and just saying, mm-hmm. I will get to it later. Mm-hmm. I will get to that later because it drives me crazy when my house feels really mm-hmm. all over the place because I already feel a little scattered.
Yeah, you have till 3 o'clock.
Exactly. I have till 3 o'clock. It's perfect. So I'll literally say, hey, if my brain tries to trick me into saying I don't have time, what I've learned is I will tell my brain or whatever lie that is, mm-hmm. you can do anything for 5 minutes.
That's right.
And then what happens is usually I go longer than five mm-hmm. minutes. But it's a trick to say, mm-hmm. hey, You can do anything for 5 minutes. Yeah. So the minute that you think, I can't, I don't have time, it's like 5 minutes. God does so mm-hmm. much even with the 5 minutes mm-hmm. that we, because for me, consistency and showing up, because mm-hmm. I struggle with those two things, being consistent and keeping my word.
It's a discipline.
Just, yes. Yeah. Discipline is an mm-hmm. area where I'm still growing for sure. But if I say 5 minutes, and then what happens is I
so you sit, you
it.
Will sit, walk us through a 5 minutes. Like, okay, you sit in your chair.
Yes. I turn on something called Soaking in the Spirit, which is just basically really beautiful ambient music. Mm-hmm. You can find it on Spotify.
There was one called Wonder recently. You sent it to me and Jill Shelby sent it to me.
Did she really?
In the same week. I was like, thank you, Lord. Yes. Beautiful.
I didn't even know Jill Shelby was listening to Soaking in the Spirit, but I tell you, it's one of my favorite things. And there is so much content. So you could have hours and hours of that. Mm. But yes, I turn on one of those and I set my phone down as quickly as possible or I will get distracted. And I put my palms up and I close my eyes and I sit in that moment. And I just try to, I just sit, I quiet my breathing and I just still myself. Mm. And I walk out to the dock and I will tell you that sometimes
you visualize yourself.
I literally visualize myself. I'm walking out into a dock. I usually have on like a giant white gown. I guess it kind of makes sense. But then I don't have to worry about what I'm wearing. I'm not worried about that. It's comfortable. It's just like a white gown. But I will tell you how active my brain is. And I'm wondering if other people deal with this. When I first started walking to the dock, I was so trying to be present that I got worried about splinters on my feet going out to the dock. Uh-huh. My brain was even trying to come up with weird obstacles to get in the way. And I felt like the Lord said, we'll make it a concrete dock. Uh-huh. We can do whatever we want. Like I can meet you however we need to meet. Like let your mind get rid of those obstacles and I can smooth them out.
Does it take you longer some mornings to get to the edge of the dock than others?
Yes. Sometimes it feels like almost completely impossible. Or I'll be sitting with him on the dock and I feel a sense of just, I'm so scattered and so all over the place. And he is so just calm every time. Sometimes he's literally just smiling because he meets me exactly how I am without any judgment, which is beautiful. And I believe that's how he meets all of us with just,
he's so patient.
He is. He's not mad at me for showing up a total mess, or just scattered. He's not mad. He's just so glad I'm there. But there are some mornings when I can't even get to the dock. It doesn't even happen. I sit down and something distracts me on my phone. I get on Instagram or someone texts me and I start looking at my calendar. And then the time has passed and I have to go to my next thing and I've missed it. Mm-hmm. And do you know that Reagan probably 10 years ago would be feeling a lot of shame? Mm-hmm. So much toxic shame. Mm-hmm. I would feel guilt. I would feel like there's something wrong with me. I would feel like I wasn't worthy. And I believe that God has started to change my heart over the past maybe year or two. So that now if that happens, I really do feel like the Lord is saying, you just come back to me. Mm-hmm. Just come back to me.
I'm going to be right here.
I'm right here. Just come back to me. Don't let anything get in the way of coming back to me.
Yeah.
No matter what it is. Hosanna Wong, she came one time and she said, make the fight of your life be the fight to get to Jesus and be with Jesus.
That was powerful.
Make that your fight. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I will. Because so much wants to get in the way of that. Mm-hmm. And I believe Jesus is like, there is nothing that will separate us. That's so don't let that happen.
Right.
Just come on back. I'm right here, you know? And so I do, but even on the mornings when it doesn't happen, he's so patient and ready to meet with me the next time, whenever.
Well, and I love this practice because I was just sitting here thinking, whether you're at home or you're not going to close your eyes if you're driving.
True.
Or if you are out of town, you can still get to the dock.
Mm-hmm. At night, if I'm having trouble sleeping, sometimes I'll walk out to the dock at night. and I'll ask him to help quiet me down. He usually hold hands, so he'll we hold hands like with our palms, like you know how you intertwine your fingers like that. You can't see it on a podcast, but like we're holding hands. And there's a strength I find in that. And then I will tell you that because I've had a lot of fear around physical contact and physical touch with men, he has met me on the dock as a lion. Because he can come out however. There have been times when it has been such a struggle to feel like I could be close to him as the man Jesus. It was like really hard for my brain to go there. And he has come on the dock with me and he lays there. And we don't even always, I mean, oftentimes we don't talk at all. We're just with each other. It's just quality time. And I will literally lay on him because he's massive. He's a massive lion. And I just lay there and he's just with me as I lay on his really soft fur. And I'm telling you, it's beautiful. Once again, God knows how each of us operate. So for some people, the idea of meeting the Lord and Jesus in our mind's eye could feel a little overwhelming. But I've even had people tell me that when they meet Jesus, they literally feel like they're looking at words from scripture. Like they'll see enlarged words that it doesn't always, it's going to look different for each person, how he connects with us. Or colors. Some people, it's just a bunch of colors, which I think is really neat too.
And think about what a lion would be for you. If it's gentle enough in that moment for you to recline back on and relax, yet you know deep down there's something about a lion that can be protective of you. And so it's really sweet to think everything that you've shared with us this morning, that he knows what you need. And so it's that combination of gentle, but yet could protect in a moment.
Strong, fierce.
Yeah,
he's both. He's both.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I'm Reagan. Oh my goodness, I'm so thankful. I knew that you would be vulnerable and willing to share out of that. So, So will you, as you think about your experiences with the Lord, what are some words that you would say describe his voice to you?
I would say the first word that comes to my mind is steady. My thoughts oftentimes are a little bit, they're like a verbal processor and they're kind of all over the place. They're, you know, whatever they are, but his voice is really steady and sure. And when I hear his voice, I hear it like a thought. I hear it like a still small voice, a thought in my mind, but it's clear, steady.
I love that you use the word sure.
And sure. Yeah. Yeah. Those are the things I would say they feel really steady.
Like
and
there's
sure.
a confidence in that word.
And I think it didn't, I think that that's kind of changed. I've cultivated that over time. I think God has cultivated that for me over time. At first, I didn't know if it was him. I struggled, as many people do. Is that you, God? Is that just my mind? But as I've gotten to know him and I've spent more time with him, spent time in the word, I know his voice. I know his voice because his sheep know his voice and they follow it. And so at first it may feel a little strange and you're trying to figure it out, but eventually you begin to learn what it sounds like.
I love that. Okay. This seems totally appropriate to me. And you may be like, absolutely not.
What?
The chorus to the Stephanie Gretzinger song, I'll Sing My Way Back to You.
Yes.
Like, could you close us by singing the chorus? She said sure without any vocal warm-ups. It's not 5:45 in the morning.
No, it's not 5:45 in the morning. I'm trying to think of what the Sing My Way Back to Your Heart. Okay, I already think I know what it is.
As you're, do you need to pull up the lyrics?
Yeah, I'm just
okay, no worries. As you are doing that, I just want people to know Stephanie Gretzinger, if you've never listened to her worship, open up your YouTube browser, put in her name. Oh my goodness, her music, her worship is what I'll say, has ministered to me over the last decade in incredible ways. And so if you've never heard Stephanie lead worship, even through the YouTube channel, I encourage you to do that today. But
yes. Okay.
So I'm going to let you just sing this over all of our listeners, and we'll close out with that. And Reagan, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's been wonderful. Okay. When I lose direction, when I can't see the stars, if we get disconnected, I'll sing my way back to your heart. I'll sing my way back to your arms. I'm gonna do it one more time. When I lose direction, when I can't see the stars, if we get disconnected, I'll sing my way back to your heart. I'll sing my way back to your arms.